I want you to open your Bibles with me. You know, we haven't stood and read in a while, so I know you just sat down and got comfortable, but Pat, could you stand one more time with me in the honor of God's Word? This is like an up and down kind of church today. I don't know. Open your Bibles with me to Joshua chapter 24, Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua chapter 24. And I got a message today for our dads, and I want to give a shout out to my dad, as Pastor Steve already did. Good to have Pastor Steve and Lindsay back with us today. Amen. They were gone last week, and good to have them back leading worship. But man, we didn't miss a beat. Nancy and the team just did a phenomenal job last Sunday with both services. And man, we saw healings. We saw people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. How many received something on last Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, the day or the night service? Look at the hands, man. There were words going out and knees being healed and pain and all kind of stuff. And that is amazing what God has done. And he's going to continue to do that today. My dad is at home, but I also have my older brother with me on the front row. Good to see my brother here. So we got all three Markham boys here. And I know dad is not 100%, but he's doing a lot better. So he's watching from home. And so I want to say a shout out to him and my father-in-law, Don, who's watching him and Ellen up north. And happy Father's Day to them. But I got a word for us as you're in Joshua 24. This is to all dads, stepdads, single dads, foster dads, guardians, and even men who are not dads yet, as we're going to look at a man of God. You know, when I first got saved, I don't know what you might have thought about Christianity and men, but there's a stereotype, it's kind of going away, but it was out there for a while that, you know, church men are in Jesus, and that Bible is, they don't say it, but there's a unwritten understanding that it's kind of a weak women, it's more for women than it is men. Let me tell you something that come right out of the pit of hell to discourage us men from really looking in the Bible. Because when you look in the Bible and you see, first of all, Jesus was a man's man. He was not this guy with a flower in his hair and sandals and running through the weeds and the fields. Jesus was a boss. Jesus confronted injustices when he saw it. He walked in churches and flipped over tables. He confronted the Pharisees. He stood up to people, but he was gentle and kind to the sinners and the people that were going through rough times. He would take time and sit down with them, listen to them. And he set an example that we're trying our best to follow. He had 12 grown men to leave everything and follow him. That is saying something, right? Because us men won't follow nobody nowhere. Amen. We're kind of independent. And, you know, men are simple, aren't we? Men are pretty simple, and so, yeah, I'll keep going, and but as you read through the Bible, you're going to find some really godly, strong men, and Joshua is one of them. Joshua, in chapter, this whole book of the Bible was named after him. He was a military man, but he was a strong man. He was a man of God, and I have said it before, it takes more strength to be a man of faith than it does to be a man of feelings. And to just live by whatever we want and feel like doing, anybody can do that. But when we say, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going to follow the Bible, I'm going to lead my family, I'm not perfect, I'm trying to find my way out of this, but I'm going to make a stand today and declare that I'm going to be a man of God. That takes strength to do that. Not everybody does it. Even the song we sung earlier, it's a narrow path, a narrow road, and not many go in. But Jesus said those that do go in will find eternal life. All of that has to do with my message as I preach to you today, just two verses, so should be a shorter message, amen, and get plenty of time to look at our life groups back there because I want everybody to try to get in one of those, especially our men, and also some donuts and pictures and things back there. So Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15, one of the most famous scriptures in all the Old Testament, says, this is Joshua, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity." Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Come on, get serious about God. Get serious about your faith. "And put away," this is what happens when we get serious with God, we start making some changes. I didn't hear no amens today. Amen. "Put away the gods," lower G-O-D, so it's not God, the gods, the idols, "which your father served." Maybe you're here and you're the first follower of Christ in your family, man or female, male or female. I'm telling you what, this is awesome for you to set the pace. But he's saying, don't follow the gods if your dads and fathers, if you didn't have a good example, you make a decision today. which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord, verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. If you don't want to serve God, then good. But you got to make up your mind if you're going to serve God or not serve God. That's what Joshua's doing here. Whether the gods which your father served, again, that are on the other side of the river, or the gods of today. And then the most famous scripture, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to talk to you for a few minutes today about the declaration of a godly man. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and I pray your anointing upon me and upon our listeners today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Choose ye this day is what Joshua telling us. So let me give you a little context here. Joshua is a young man who took over for Moses. Moses was the man that led the Jewish people out of slavery, out of Egypt. And Joshua has a responsibility to lead them now into the promised land. It's one thing to come out of the world. It's another thing to live and serve God long enough to go into the promises of God. And half of them did not make them. Half of them fell away in the wilderness. And it's important to, if God's going to bring you out of something, that you stay with it long enough to see the blessing. So Joshua, that's his responsibility, is to lead them into the promised land. And before he finishes his mission, he has the people make a choice. He says, you've got to make a choice. And listen, I say it all the time. How many know that life is about, it's not winners or losers, it's about choosers. We choose what we're going to do. Everything we do in life is based upon our decisions we make. Our life is not formed by the things that happens to us, but by the decisions we make in response to them. So Joshua is forcing them to make a decision, and that's what I'm trying to go with this today, is to challenge our men, and then I'm going to encourage our men, because we do got a lot of great, awesome men of God here that are in the building, that are here watching online. You're doing it. You're following the Lord. You're serving the Lord, and so I want to end it with a word of encouragement. But first, we got to look at this text as he is telling the people to choose. Well, the men chose. They said, okay, we're going to follow God. As for us and our house, and they followed Joshua, and what they did is they preserved a legacy. Look in verse 31. It says that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the work of the Lord which he had done for Israel. So it worked. They followed God, and for two generations, they served the Lord, even outlived Joshua. When he passed away, they kept the legacy going. And that's legacy. And that's what we want, fathers, right? We want to be able to leave an impression upon our children and upon our children's children. You know, I'm a grandfather now. I'm Poppy. That's the name. And so I got two grandbabies, beautiful, 2.5 and 1.5. And my focus now is not what I leave to them, but what I leave in them. And try my best now to leave them a legacy, as my dad and my uncles and my grandpa Markham has left a legacy. My grandpa Markham had a peg leg as he lost his leg in the coal mines of West Virginia, and he raised 12 children, 8 boys and 4 girls. And my dad is the youngest of the family, and it's just my dad and my uncle Bobby, who watches online from time to time. They watch, and they're the only ones left in the family. And I had the privilege and honor of doing a couple of the funerals of my heroes, which were my uncles. And I remember the last time I was there doing a funeral for my last uncle, I had a man came up to me in West Virginia and said, you didn't know your grandpa, because my grandpa Markham died on Christmas when my dad was only 15 years old. And so that actually caused my dad to just not like God, hate God, actually blame God. I mean, he's the youngest of 12, and his father dies on Christmas Eve, actually, and you can just imagine the devastation there, and so it just really tore that family up. But years went on, and one of my uncles got saved and ended up just turning the whole family around. And at that funeral, that man came up to me and said, you may not know, remember, or you never met your Grandpa Markham, but I am from this family, and we live down the holler from the Markhams. So a holler is a, look it up, and so And he said, I tell you this about your Grandpa Markham. He said, every Sunday and every Wednesday night, you can see him coming down the holler. And at night, you'd see that little lantern shaking because he had a peg leg. And he would walk literally a mile to church. And I know in the snow, right, we had all that. But he would take his family to the church every week, day in and day, working in the coal mines and working so hard. And the whole, and this guy was just loving, I mean, telling me that's what kind of legacy Anthony Mark A.W. left for his children. And before he, just here in the 70s, God went through the Markham family, and all 12 of them were serving the Lord. All 12 of the Markhams. Out of the 8 boys, 4 of them were ordained ministers, and the 4 sisters sang. And I mean, it's just amazing. What, that's a legacy, guys. And that's what I'm talking about. And it starts with making a decision that you're going to follow Jesus. Notice that he says, Joshua says to the people, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. He didn't say choose who you're going to believe, because they believed in God. They believed in Yahweh. You can believe in God and not serve God. Let me say it over here. They didn't get it. You can believe that there is a God in heaven, a man upstairs. You can believe in God. You can even come to church and participate to a certain extent, but not live your life for him. And without living the life for him, we're not going to leave a legacy. We're not going to make an impact. Because it's not what we say, but it's how we live is what determines the legacy of our children. It's believing, yeah, but it is, in the Bible it means the same thing, but in our Western America ideology and understanding, we have this idea that you can believe in a God, but really live your own life. But Joshua's saying, no, you gotta make up your mind whom you're gonna serve. It's an action, it's a declaration of action. Who you're gonna live your life for? Are you going to follow the world and the gods and the culture, and you're going to make decisions based on the culture around you, or are you going to make decisions based upon the Christ within you? Choose ye this day. He's making them make a decision. Why? Because how we live a life is how we're going to be remembered. Some, unfortunately, will leave a legacy. Everyone's leaving a legacy right now, whether you know it or not. We are all leaving a legacy to our children on purpose, intentionally or not. Some are leaving a legacy of pain. Some of you have been left a legacy of pain. Some have left a legacy of rebellion. I mean, that is just a legacy. We're going to do whatever we are Markhams. We're going to do whatever we want to do. We ain't going to follow nobody. We're going to just be known for a rebellious attitude toward God and doing things our own way. That's a legacy of rebellion. Let me encourage you, man, don't do that. Some are going to leave a legacy of unbelief. You just don't believe in God. You're not going to serve him. I pray that be nobody here today. And depending on how we live our lives is actually going to depend on how we are remembered. I heard this pastor preach here recently, one of our executive pastors at a network council, and he was talking about the 12 spies. And man, I said, this was so amazing. It fits in so good right here. So the 12 spies, we remember Joshua, right? That's who we're talking about is Joshua. Well, the first time he's mentioned in the scripture, one of the first times, is he's part of the 12 spies that Moses sends over into the promised land, right, to spy out the land. And then the 12 spies come back. And 10 of the 12 spies, they said what? They said, we can't do it. We can't live for God. We're not going to do it. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. Their military is way better than ours. Moses, change your plans. We don't want to do it. We can't do it. But there were only 2 out of the 12 that said, we can do it. We're going to live for God. We're going to do it God's way. We can do it. If God is with us, who can be against us? Who were those 2 men? Joshua. Who was the other one? Caleb. Can anybody here name 1 of the 10 that said we can't? I'll give you a $100 bill. No, you know why? Because if you want to be forgotten, be negative. If you want to be forgotten, be a complainer. If you want to be forgotten and not leave a legacy, be the person that says, I'm not going to live for God. I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to believe my way. What I feel and what I decide to do, that's the kind of life I'm going to live. And if you choose to do that, we will leave a legacy that no one remembers. But we got to make a decision, man. We got to make a decision, guys, that says, hey, we're going to declare today that we're going to live for God. And it's not a popular choice. It's not a pretty choice. But it is a choice, and the choice that works. and will preserve the lineage and legacy of our family. I was thinking of this. I had to throw a classic man's film. This is a man's movie. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. I got to thinking about this. One of my favorites of all of Indy's canon is this one. If you remember, this is the one with his father is in the movie, and his father gets shot, and he's wounded, and so Indy has to save his dad. And so in order to do so, he's got to get the Holy Grail, which is a cup that the kings would drink from. And he'd had to pick the right Holy Grail and put it into the water, scoop up some water, which had eternal life and healing power in it, and get it to his dad and heal his dad. And so Indy has to make these decisions. He has to make a choice. He has to make many choices to save his family. And so one of them is to bow down and to bow his knee, and he's got to take a step of faith. That was one of my favorites, where he has to just leap, take a step off the cliff, and these footsteps appear, this bridge appears, and it's the step of faith. And Indy has to do all of these, make all of these choices to save his dad. And he finally gets to the tavern there, the little area there, the chamber of the cups, the grails, and in it is a guardian of the grail. And he looks at Indiana Jones, and he points to the water. That's the healing water that you need, but you must select the right goblet, the right chalice, the right cup. And so right when he starts to look at all of the different grails, they're beautiful, another man walks in, an enemy. He runs in at gunpoint, and he grabs one that looks so pretty, so sparkly, gold and filled with diamonds and rubies. He says, surely this is a king's grail. This is the cup of the king. And he grabs it, and he scoops up some water, and he looks at Indy, and he takes a sip. And instantly, he is disintegrated. He dies, and it's an ugly death, and you know, and he goes, and Indiana Jones is watching him. And then Indy turns, and the guardian says, now it's your turn. Now you choose. How many know that no matter how our fathers lived, our mothers lived, or what kind of family we came from, we must choose for ourselves? And so Indy looks, and he's looking, he's trying to make a choice. Which one of these holy grails is the holy grail? Which cup? And they're all beautiful, diamonds and rubies. And he looks, and he remembers Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, was a carpenter. He was lowly and humble. And he looks over, and there was a little wooden cup that wasn't very pretty, wasn't very shiny, wasn't very popular. And so Indy makes his decision, and he grabs that one, and he looks over, and the guardian just looks at him. He picks up some water, and he takes a sip, and he chose wisely, ended up saving his father. That is the same illustration that Joshua is making to us today. If you want to serve the gods of culture, if you want to serve the gods and drink from the cup of heaven, you know, whoever has the biggest car, the most money, you know, the best job, these accolades, all those things are important. But culture is telling men, this is what a man is. This is what a man is. But God is saying, if you will choose to take the noble, the humble, and the way that I set before you, it works, and you'll preserve your family for generations to come. So if you look at this declaration, you're going to look at a couple of things. Number one, this declaration, it's a personal declaration. I want you to see this today. Before Joshua talks about families and men, before you even talk about families, this is why you can be a young man here without any children. And this goes for everybody, women as well. When it comes to making a declaration that you're going to serve the Lord, listen, it has to be a personal declaration. It has to be something that you decide to do, listen, in your heart. Joshua says, listen, y'all gonna do whatever y'all wanna do. But as for me, you see that? As for me, you gotta get to the place and say, hey, I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care what everybody else is thinking. But you gotta get to the place and say, as for me, personally, I am going to serve the Lord. I can't make these, and he's saying, quit standing in between two decisions. If it's evil to serve God, then don't serve God. I love what he says that there. He's being plain. He's like, listen, if you aren't really going to follow through and serve the Lord, you're wasting your time. You're wasting time coming to church. You're wasting time saying you're a Christian and putting it on social media. You're wasting time. If you're really not got it first in your heart, that you are going to serve the Lord, then everything else is just lip service. Everything else is just religion. And religion doesn't change anybody. Religion is a man-made system of ceremonies and stuffy, endless things that mean nothing to God. But a life-changing relationship with God will transform a person from the inside out. How does it start? It starts with you declaring in your heart that as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. If I'm all by myself, I'm going to serve the Lord. If everybody goes with me, then great. But you know what? I'm going to serve the Lord. One of the young, the best examples, I love this story in the Bible of somebody doing this is young Daniel. Just give you this one scripture that we're going to move on. But I used to use this as a youth pastor all the time because Daniel was only about 18 years old when he was taken captive by the Assyrians, taken all to Babylon. And they changed his name. They changed his diet. Culture was totally different over there. And they tried to make Daniel eat the foods and drink the wine and live the kind of life that the Babylonians were living. He's 18 years old. He didn't have a Pastor Eddie there. He didn't have a church there. He had no mama, no daddy, nobody. He's 18 years old, and he's off by himself in a foreign land. They done changed his name. They done changed his religion. He can't pray. He can't worship. He's got to bow down to their gods, and then they bring up before him this food. And listen to what it says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart. I want you to see that. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's delicacies, nor the wine which they drank. And watch this. And God brought Daniel into the favor of the officials. Why? Because favor follows faith. Favor follows obedience. Favor will follow us. When I made that decision to follow Jesus, listen, I said, listen, I'm going to make my mind. I was 25 years old. And I said, I'm going to live for, it was a matter. I would pray that prayer all the time I got in trouble. But I didn't really mean it. It wasn't in here. It was just how some of us want God to just alleviate the pain. We really don't want him to make us different and change us. Let me be real with you. Some of us just want God to answer a prayer, but we're really not interested in God changing who we are to keep us from making other self-inflicted pain. Does that make sense? That's how I was. Lord, change my circumstance, but don't change me. And God said, if I don't change you, we're going to keep having this prayer. I got to change you. And that's what Joshua was doing. Joshua was saying, listen, y'all came out of Egypt. And so you don't make the promised land like the place you came. I got to get Egypt out of you. So in order for Egypt to get out of you is you have got to make up your mind in your heart today that you're going to live for God, even if it's not the most popular way to do. And look what it did. It brought him into the favor of the Lord. You want favor on your life? Let me tell you something, man. It's so amazing to me when I made that decision to follow Jesus. Yeah, it was tough at first, and it's still not the easiest thing, but man, God's favor began to show up in every area of my life, my marriage, my relationship with my parents, my relationship with my kids, my job, all the way up, restoring me from the bad reputation that I have as now being a spiritual leader in the community and a man of grace and integrity. I'm not perfect. You can ask my wife. But I tell you what, I did do one thing. I made a decision in my heart that I am going to serve the Lord. And that's why I'm standing here today. And I'll tell you this, you got to make that decision every single day. I got to move on. This declaration, it has to first of all be personal. Second, you need to know this second thing about the declaration is the declaration comes with responsibility. I want you to see what he says. He said, as for me, everybody say me. That's personal. And then he says, and my household, I'm taking responsibility for my household. Come on, men. This is where we get into the picture. The number one responsibility for a man, according to the Bible and according to God, the way he designed us, as Pastor Steve was even talking about, is to be the spiritual leader of our home. Wives, women are just as important. Women are nurturers. Women, you bring the life of the human species into this world. That is nothing to be ashamed of. That is nothing to not want. Do you know how precious that is for you to carry on the legacy in life? You are a nurturer. You are the heart of the home. Without you, we just got a bunch of guys walking around looking for duct tape. Amen. We need some help. We need women to help us, absolutely. But back to the men. Listen, the number one responsibility for men is to lead our family spiritually. God always holds the man responsible in the Bible. When Adam and Eve sinned, we know it was Eve that took of the fruit first. The Bible says it. But when God came, look what happened in the next verse. He came and he said, Adam, Adam, where are you? Why is he calling out Adam when it was Eve that took the fruit first? Because it was Adam that was supposed to be there to protect her. He didn't ask for Eve. He got to Eve later. He came to Adam. Why? Because Adam neglected his spiritual responsibilities, guys. The word husband actually comes from the word. Steve was preaching my message during worship. Husband is in the Latin, it means house band. It's the band that holds the house. That's what a husband is supposed to do, is to protect the home. We know that. You are to protect the home. You are to stand up. Somebody comes at your wife or family, right? We done talked about that a couple weeks ago. Don't elbow your wife to go check out that noise at 3 a.m. Amen? Right? The dog will get it. No, you need to get up and go. Amen. But you also protect them in every other arena. We got to protect them. Also, the word husband, I looked this up in the Norse language. It means a tiller of the ground, a manager of the home. In other words, a provider. It's something that we are to do as men, is provide for our family. We know that. We are to provide with some kind of an income or something. Now, today's economy, it usually takes two income household to make it. And the Bible also depicts a woman, Proverbs 31, is a woman of ambition, a woman that gets up early and provides as well. God applauds that. So if you are both working in your home, God bless you. Your wife can even be making more money than you. And here's the thing, we got to be secure enough in not in how much money or what cup we're drinking from, that glamorous cup. Our security comes in our identity. And we're made in the image of God. And a secure man will say, hey, I'll do whatever I can. But we're called to contribute to the family. And if you're able to provide and be the sole provider, and mom is able to raise them kids at home, which is a lot harder than going to work, my opinion, then so be it. Amen. But here's where I want to go a little bit further with that. We know we are to protect. We know we are to provide. But let me tell you something, what is in this scripture and what our responsibility of being a man of God is to be present. Presence changes everything. Our presence will change the environment that we're in. You ever be at a restaurant or at a game or something, and then all of a sudden the camera flashes over and there's a celebrity in the room? It changes the whole environment. This past week, there was that famous chef, Gordon Ramsay guy, you know, the guy that yells at everybody. He was here in Metro Detroit, and he was visiting some of the local restaurants, and that place just went electric when they announced that he was there. Why? He didn't do anything. It's just his presence changed the atmosphere. I don't care if you're there on a date talking about your wife, a celebrity walks in. How many know it changes the environment? Why? His presence was there. It wasn't a picture on the wall, but it was his presence. Our presence, men, has the same results in our families when we are present with them. When we are present with them, not just going to games, but in all these other arenas. And what I mean by being present, let me clarify, I mean that we just not only show up, but we speak up. When I say men need to be present, that means we also need to be participants. Because I want you to see this scripture in Genesis chapter 3, back to Adam and Eve. I've never seen this. I don't know why I missed this before. Look at this. It says, Eve, she took of its fruit and she ate. Watch this. And she gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, we've always understood that it was Eve by herself. She ate and then had to go find Adam. This scripture says Adam was with her. Could it be that Adam was just standing right there? His presence is there, but he said, oh, that's woman work. I'm not going to get involved. I'm saying he just stood there and watched. Us men, listen, we've got to not just show up, but we got to speak up. We're called to say something. We're called to say, hey, we're going to follow the Lord in this house. We're going to live for Jesus. We're going to go to church. Our kids should not have to ask us dads if we're going to church. It should not be up there. They ought to know automatically. This is what we do in our family. We are worshipers of God. We have made a decision to go and serve the Lord. If you agree with that, say amen. Give me some help up in here. I'm closing real soon. He said, so he was present. We are to lead in our Bible study. We are to lead in these areas. Is to be present is to participate. Dads, let our kids see us in the Word. Let our kids watch us worship. Let our kids hear us talk. Yeah, our wives know the Bible too, but we should be leading those Bible studies at home. We should be the ones, hey, what'd you guys learn in River Kids today? And be able to, oh yeah, I know that story. Or like me, you had to relearn those stories. Oh really, is that what happened? And act like you knew it. Yeah, that's right. But we are to be leaning in like that. Our presence matters when we do that. Why? Because this declaration involves responsibility. And then lastly, before we pray, I wanted to encourage you guys, as I said earlier, when Joshua brought these men, he said, listen, this is a personal declaration that you got to make up your mind personally. This is also a declaration that involves responsibility. You got to take action. It's not believing in God, but serving God, living for God. You got to be the one that makes that voice and says, hey, we're not going to, Dad, we got to not reach for this or for that website. We're not going to be watching porn. We're not going to be going to that website. We're not going to be participating in this drugs and alcohol to get us through. We're going to depend on our faith in Jesus Christ. Let me get that plain with you today. That's what I mean by serving God, not just mentally saying I believe in a God. We got to get real with him and say, I'm going to follow the Lord the best I can. And when we do that, Joshua got the men together, and they all said, he said, are you willing to make this declaration? And they said, yes. And then they made a covenant. And this is last thing I want to tell you. With a covenant comes community. This is the beautiful thing about being a man of God, is you're not by yourself. Yeah, it's a personal decision, but let me tell you something. When you make that decision to follow God with your family, look around. In fact, I want every man in this building, if you could, please stand. Father or a young man without any kids yet. Every man in this building, would you just please stand in this place? Stand. Amen. Look at these men around this place. Look how many men's in the church of God today. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for being here today. I wanted to just encourage our men, because we got some awesome guys in our church and men. Many men are leading these life groups. Many men, I know I got a Bible and bow archery life group for you men that like to shoot. You know, I love to do archery. And Aaron Long's going to help me do it, because this young man loves Jesus and just is doing such a great job. And he's ready to lead. So many others, men, are leading in this church. And I just want to encourage you guys, you're doing it. And let me tell you something, wives and fiancés and girlfriends, listen, it is a heavy load for us men to carry. Our biggest critic is ourselves. Sometimes we feel like we're not good enough. Sometimes we feel like we don't have all the answers. I was so intimidated when I heard that the father is the spiritual leader. I could not be like my dad. I couldn't stay out of the court system. I couldn't do anything right. I couldn't live sober long enough. I said, how can I do it? And God says, you just be present. That was the first thing he began to just show up. Just go after me. And everything else began to fall in line. One by one, he began to help me do it. But it starts with this declaration, and I'm going to end with this, of making that declaration to God. Are you men here ready to make a declaration that you're going to stand with God? How many men are here? A declaration of being a godly man. I want to ask you like Joshua did. If you're here today and you men are willing and ready to make that declaration to follow God, I want you to stand to your feet in this place now. I had every man stand earlier. Now this is you standing as you're willing to make a declaration. Worship team, will you come? I want to pray a blessing over you. But before I do that, I want to show you what he did in the scripture. I know everyone's going to stand because you don't want to be the only one not standing. And so what Joshua did, if you read this chapter, they all said, yes, Joshua, I'm going to be a man of God, just like you did. He looked at him and he said, no, you're not. Read it. I've never seen a pastor do that in an altar call. Have somebody come up and then they go sit down. You ain't serious. That's what he did. Read the chapter. He looks at him and says, you ain't serious. You're just standing because everybody else is standing. Joshua was a man, like I told you. Why was he doing that? He was challenging us men. And so I'm going to ask you that today. You can stand, and I appreciate you standing. But guys, you've got to make that decision in your heart for yourself today. It's Father's Day. You're going to go home. You're going to grill, whatever you're going to do. But I'm believing that this could be a turning point for some of you men today. Others of you have already made this godly decision. This is just an encouragement for you to lean in to some of your other friends that you got. You're going to need a community of godly men to help you. Why? Because that's where accountability comes. And so I want to just pray a blessing over you, but only you know between you and God if you're ready to make this declaration unto God today. Will you just close your eyes right now, bow your heads in this place? I don't want a Father's Day sermon today. I wrestled with this whole thing because we can get so religious, can't we? I brought my kids when my daughters were little. I brought them to church. I dedicated them to the Lord. I came on Easter. I came on Christmas. That's how I lived my life. I did it. My dad has tried his best to reach out to me. He'd come get me out of jail. He'd come to the house. He'd come. I would pray a prayer. I'd come to church for a few weeks every now and then. Sometimes our whole family came. And it boiled down to me taking that one time and one day. I said, this is it. I'm going to follow you with all of my heart. And I just wonder if there's somebody here today or watching online that says, that's me. I'm going to make that decision. This is it. I'm serious and I'm not going back. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. You know who you are. This is between you and God. This is no hype, no emotion. This is you and God. If that is you, you know who you are. And it's a decision that you make in your heart right now. And if that's you, this is what you say. In fact, I guess we can all repeat this, men. But we're going to ask God to forgive us, and we're going to put our faith in him today. Would you repeat this after me? Amen. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I come to you today confessing that I'm a sinner. I have sinned. I ask you today to forgive me of all my sins. And I declare today that I am going to follow you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Help me, God, from this day forward to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.